today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Wu-Tang is for the children. Gotta pull for them as well.
All right, we interrupt our regularly scheduled programming for this Suburbs Pod sports break. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
All right, and with us are two guest analysts. One you know very well from previous years of our bracket special episodes, Jason Goba. Hello, Jason.
Madness time is here again. Yes. Once again, coming in way too hard at the start of this tournament, but look, I'm excited, baby. Let's go.
Jason, you can't come in way too hot. It's impossible. It's impossible. We love it. We love it. Okay, and then new with us this year, we have from Rome, New York, Mr. Mike Coley.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, Mike, glad to have you.
Coley!
Glad to be here.
All right. I mentioned interrupting our regular programming. We still have a couple of episodes of 2025 favorites we will get to later in the week. Correct, Patrick?
That is correct. Thursday and Friday, Jim, you and I will give our best song, album, and discovery of 2025 to wrap it up with a nice bow.
That's right. But today we are kicking off the Music Madness bracket of 2026 because the tournament, our tournament, is going to start today. When you hear this, you'll be able to start casting votes at 1 p.m. Eastern time on our Facebook page, facebook.com/suburbspod. And the topic this year shouldn't be a big surprise to people. It's going to follow a trend we had for the last couple of years going. It's 90s albums. The way that works, there'll be a new matchup every day on our Facebook page. You'll be able to vote. And then the following day, we will have the results of that matchup. And then there's another one and so on and so forth until we make it all the way through. There will be 63 matchups until we crown a winner. So this thing's going to go on for a couple of months, guys. So I hope you are well hydrated.
Yeah, stay hydrated, please.
Got my hydration going right now.
There you go. I see it. All right. All right, it's Suburbs Pod approved, Mike. Okay, now, just as we did last year, we have a field of 64 albums, and they are divided into four quadrants, and each quadrant has a different criteria. There's a sales quadrant that is literally the top-selling albums in the United States that were released in the 90s, 1 through 16. Then we'll have a critics quadrant that is the top albums released in the 90s, the top placing albums on Rolling Stone's 500 greatest albums of all time list. All right. And then we have a listeners quadrant that was formed by doing a poll of our listeners over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, where listeners got to submit up to 16 of their favorite albums released in the 90s. And then we tallied up those votes and we ranked those based on the votes from 1 to 16. And then we have our host quadrant, and that are 8 picks from Patrick and 8 picks from myself. All right. The voting on Facebook is going to start with the sales quadrant. So we're going to talk about that one last here because we're going to go a little bit more in depth on that since that is starting today. But I will just quickly run through the albums in the sales quadrant just so people see what is in the field here. So 1 through 16 are Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rear View, Green Day Dookie, Metallica Black Album, Shania Twain Come On Over, The Bodyguard soundtrack, Garth Brooks No Fences, Alanis Morissette Jagged Little Pill, Santana Supernatural, the Backstreet Boys debut album, Britney Spears Baby One More Time, another Garth Brooks album Rope in the Wind, Backstreet Boys Millennium, Nirvana Nevermind, Pearl Jam 10, Dixie Chicks Wide Open Spaces, and number 16, NSYNC, No Strings Attached. All right, you guys in a 90s mood now?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I got my flannel going.
All right. All right, like I said, we'll get back to the sales quadrant in a moment. Let's just talk about real quickly here the albums that are in the critics quadrant, and I'm going to talk about them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to list these again in order, 1 through 16 seed. In about 8 days, we'll talk about the specific matchups, but I should mention here that you can go to suburbspod.com and you can see the full bracket there. So there you'll be able to see all the different matchups that are coming your way. But let me just list the critics' picks from 1 through 16. Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. 2, The Notorious B.I.G., Ready to Die. 3, Wu-Tang Clan, Enter the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers. 4.
Ain't nothing to F with. I'll just tell you that much.
For the children, Jason. It's for the children.
It's true. It is for the children.
That's right. 4, Dr. Dre, The Chronic. 5, Radiohead, OK Computer. 6, A Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory. 7, Nas, Illmatic. I say parenthetically, I think it's one of my son's favorite albums. 8, Outkast, Aquamini. 9, Liz Phair, Exile in Guyville. 10, Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. And by the way, again, parenthetically, I had an opportunity to buy that CD, Reasonable Doubt, at a library fundraiser book sale for $2, and I didn't get it. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I get it?
What?
I didn't get it. Later, I was like, why didn't I buy that? Anyway, well, I was going through a big stack of stuff. And I don't know. Okay. Number 11, My Bloody Valentine, Loveless. Number 12, Erykah Badu, Baduism. Number 13 is, where is it? Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, Supa Dupa Fly. Number 14, REM, Automatic for the People. Number 15, Lucinda Williams, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. And number 16, Hole, Live Through This. And now I turn over to the panel. Big picture, what are your thoughts on the critics quadrant?
I'll just say this briefly and you guys can go. I don't know if it's more possible to have two sides of a coin than the sales quadrant and the critics quadrant. I'll just say that. It was a weird decade, the 90s. Go ahead, guys.
I was just going to say, this field is stacked. But this quadrant is ultimately going to be rap, hip hop versus rock and roll. I have to say, I think rap may have a chance with a few of these albums to potentially sneak through. I was listening yesterday to Lauryn Hill and I forgot how good that album was. Really hadn't picked that one up in a while. And, I'm a huge Tribe Called Quest fan. Dr. Dre's The Chronic is, also a masterpiece. But then you got like Radiohead in this bracket. You got REM in this bracket. Even like Liz Phair and My Bloody Valentine. As I said, this is... Unlike last year, where I looked at some of the brackets and it was kind of like, I thought I knew where this was going. I kind of see this one being wide open at the end of the day and be curious to see where it ends up.
Michael, any thoughts on the critics quadrant overall?
This was very heavy on the hip hop, which kind of surprised me. Totally surprised me because there was a ton of great hip hop that came out in the 90s. And like Jay said, I'm a huge Tribe Called Quest fan. I'll be pulling for them for sure. And Wu-Tang is for the children. Got to pull for them as well. But Illmatic, a lot of people in the hip hop circles call that the greatest album of all time. So if if the logistics play out and the people come and vote, I think Illmatic may pull a surprise and take this round.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I think, you guys have all touched on this already, but the 90s, obviously, the rise of hip hop, the rise of indie rock. And that's what you see in this quadrant, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay, now we're going to turn here to the listeners quadrant. As I mentioned, these are albums submitted and voted on by listeners so they could populate this quarter of the bracket. I'll run
Democracy.
Through these.
Democracy.
Yes. Democracy in action. We still believe in it here.
There it is.
All right. So I'm going to run through these 1 through 16 seating as well. Number one, U2, Octoon Baby. That was a bit of a surprise to me that came in at number one. But maybe I'm just out of touch. The people have spoken. They like Octoon Baby. Number two, Tom Petty, Wildflowers. Number three, Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend. Number four, The Sundays, Reading, Writing, and Arithmetic. Number five, Wilco, Being There. Number six, Weezer's debut album, The Blue Album. Number seven, Sunvolt, Trace. Number eight, Jeff Buckley, Grace. Number nine, Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream. Number 10, Neutral Milk Hotel, In the Airplane Over the Sea. Number 11, Teenage Fan Club, Bandwagon-esque. Number 12, Neil Young, Ragged Glory. Number 13, Belle and Sebastian, If You're Feeling Sinister. Number 14, Depeche Mode, Violator. Number 15, this will be a surprise to me, They Might Be Giants, Flood. I thought that was more sort of a cult album. I was surprised that did so well. And then number 16, Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory. All right, thoughts on the listener's quadrant?
Once again, you know, I think this is a great list. You know, it's, you got two veterans at the top, U2 and Tom Petty. And, but then you have, you have Matthew Sweet, you got Weezer, you got Smashing Pumpkins, you got Jeff Buckley, which they just did that documentary about. Once again, I think this bracket is loaded, and it's going to be, see, you know, last year, I think the listeners quadrant kind of went like pretty much to form, other than when, you know, it became, you know, other than when the replacements just essentially overwhelmed everything. This year, I could see some surprises with some of the lower seeds actually advancing, notwithstanding the fact they didn't get the majority of the votes to get a higher seed in this tournament. But like U2, Oasis, I you know, not to just give a preview of one of them, I'm very curious to see how that one turns out at the end of the day.
Yeah, knowing this, many of the listeners' tendencies, I was still surprised to see U2 as the number one seed here. But I do know that there's a lot of U2 fans in this group. So seeing them as a number one seed, though, was a little bit of a surprise to me. But Tom Petty, obviously a fan favorite among the listeners. Bud Verge gave a late push for the Oasis to be the 16th seed. But some of these are very surprising, like the Sundays album.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
Neither did I.
I didn't see the Jeff Buckley album coming. Maybe it was the documentary Bounce that got them into the bracket. But Teenage Fan Club has a huge following in the listener base here, which doesn't surprise me that they made the bracket. Weezer's Blue album, come on, that's just a fantastic album. And the They Might Be Giants album, I think it was a cultish album back in the 90s. In my bachelor pad apartment back in the 90s, we listened to that incessantly. We listened to Flood all the time. Where, even staying up all night long, trying to sing along with every song, rewinding, reading the lyrics, rewinding again, because we had it on cassette, obviously, back in the 90s.
Can I ask you, when you say bachelor pad and we, was it a mouse? Were you infested? Or is it?
No, I don't think we had any mice. No, there's four guys, four of us that lived together. We play baseball together. We got an apartment. And we drank our faces off and listened to music all the time.
All right. Very good. And they might be Giants. That's
interesting. They might be Giants. It was one of them.
Yeah. All right. I think
so. I'm kind of squeezing for them to make it through.
This is kind of a, you know, aside from, say, Tom Petty and Neil Young, it's kind of a who's who of, not, you know, 90s alternative, right? I mean, and that's cool. But I think you could see any of these videos on Alternative Nation or whatever was that show on MTV, right? It's right in that wheelhouse. I'm pleased with the Sundays getting the 4 seed. Again, that was one I kind of overlooked, but I have that CD, and that's some great stuff. So that's nice that got such love.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I will say, I've read about, and not necessarily met, people who can't talk about Neutral Milk Hotels in the Airplane Over the Sea without weeping. Right. Like, they will cry. They can't even discuss it with you. It's such an intense emotional experience.
Okay, so quickly here, we're going to talk about the host quadrant. We set this up a little bit differently than the others. They are still seated 1 through 16, but the top half, when you look at the bracket, were Patrick's picks, and then the bottom half were my picks. We decided last year, we had sort of them alternated so that we were going up against each other in the first round, and we thought it would be better that our picks don't meet until the regional final or whatever. Right. So anyway,
yeah, it's better if my pick will lose every first round match.
Yeah. I got your back, man. Yeah.
No, there's some great picks here.
I got bageled by Jim, I think.
So I'm not going to read these in seed order. I'm just going to read these like top to bottom the way we have it structured. So, Patrick's picks are, and by the way, these are just after those first three quadrants were set, then we, you know, these are sort of like our wild cards to fill in the rest.
We did pay very close attention to what was picked in a listener poll and everything.
Right.
So, yeah.
There were some in probably all these brackets, all these other quadrants I might have picked otherwise, but they were already on there. So, okay. So anyway, Patrick's picks are Spiritualized, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space, Fugazi Repeater, Sebado 3, Buena Vista Social Club, Lullaby for the Working Class, I Never Even Asked for Light, Super Furry Animals, Gorilla, Le Tigre, and Sun City Girls, Torch of the Mystics. Do you want to address this first, Patrick, or do you want others to speak?
Go ahead and speak. I'd love to know what others think.
Jason, anything?
Well, first off, Mr. Patty, thank you for including or making sure, Ladies and Gentlemen, We're Floating into Space gets into this tournament. I was in middle, you know, most of the picks I made in terms of my listener selection for the listeners quadrant were albums that I listened to at the time, but there were a few that I came to later in life. And I remember, again, this was a concert I was sort of dragged to, or just said, yeah, why not? I'll go see it. And it was Spiritualized doing an anniversary show at Radio City Music Hall for our Ladies and Gentlemen. We Are Floating into Space. Fell in love with that band, fell in love with that album. I mean, I don't know if there's like a more beautiful song than the opening song, you know, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but with the I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I mean,
yeah,
I'm a huge Jay Spaceman fan, and I'm glad he's going to get a shot in this tourney.
Yes. Love very it. Cool. Mike, anything?
So, piggybacking on Jason's thing about Spiritualized, back when that album was being released, I was still a member, I think it was Columbia House. I was still a member of Columbia House.
Wow.
And I tried ordering that album on CD so many times, and it was always sold out. And so I never really heard it until the streaming age.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And I'll take that as a number one seed. But you included Fugazi, so I gotta vote for Fugazi in this quadrant, because I had Fugazi's repeater on my list as well, my listeners quadrant list. And
I gotta say, you did
I'm a huge Fugazi guy.
You did make it tough by putting him against Fugazi.
That's brutal.
I will also throw in, that Buena Vista Social Club. I'm glad that's getting some love in this tournament. That was an album that came out of nowhere, but, it just was a fantastic album. And I'm glad that is also going to get a shot here.
The Tigray is, so Decepticon is probably the most played song at Copper City Brewing Company. Just so you know.
Oh, is it? Sweet.
It's on so many different playlists that we put on for various reasons. And that song gets played constantly at Copper City. And every time it comes out, you just see heads bobbing. And love that song. Love that album.
I'll just throw out one more. Sevada. I mean, I know everybody loves Jay Maskus, and I love Jay Maskus and Jay Maskus, but Lou Barlow, also a freaking genius, and I'm glad Sevada is getting a shot as well.
I love that, man. Thank you guys so much. I totally feel the same way about Sevada. It's funny, Le Tigre was the record that my offspring and I, especially my two older ones, completely bonded over. And they were, getting a little bit older at that time. And it was amazing to see them really getting into this music. And for them, it was just like a super fun, bouncy record, right? But there's all kinds of interesting stuff going on underneath. And I put two records in here that I really, really loved. And you know how we were talking about like all this music and all these different genres and all this, like everything was everywhere in the 90s. Here's two examples of different kinds of esoteric music that I think are just massively beautiful that like kind of splintered off from this whole 90s explosion. One is Lullaby from the Working Class. I Never Even Asked for Light. The record is driven by this guy, Mike Mogus, who later went on to play a pretty big role in the Saddle Creek scene. He played in Monsters of Folk and became an incredible studio musician. But this is his first band, and it's totally, totally amazing, heartbreaking, and beautiful. And Sun City Girls were just probably like the most out there mystic Indian, Arabian folk punk indie rock band. And I think this is their masterpiece that came out in the 90s. So I did it, man. There it is.
That's cool.
I somehow cut it down.
I know. It's tough. It's tough to get it down to 8. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to quickly run through my 8 picks. I will just say that I approached this really thinking like, what did I listen to in the 90s? It wasn't so much like, what do I still listen to today, although I probably still do listen to these quite a bit, but back in the 90s, this was stuff that was like on heavy rotation in the CD player, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way I looked at it, and I literally went through my whole record collection to be like, to make these picks too, because I also felt like if I didn't actually buy it, if I don't own it, then it doesn't deserve to be on the list. So that was an easy way to sort of go through and make the picks. So all right, I'm gonna read these 8 albums that I selected. Sugar, Copper Blue, World Party, Goodbye Jumbo, Superchunk, Foolish, Breeders, Last Splash, The Jayhawks, Tomorrow the Green Grass, Velvet Crush, Teenage Symphonies to God, Lemonheads, It's a Shame About Ray, and Material Issue, International Pop Overthrow. Thoughts?
I'll start out by giving you your props. I'll be honest. I had totally forgotten about Goodbye Jumbo. It should have been on my list, like Mike did. When I first joined a CD club, one of the CDs I got was Goodbye Jumbo, and I really knew nothing about it other than I think I had seen like a Rolling Stone talk up of the album, and then ended up getting that and just being completely blown away by what Carl Wallinger and World Party were doing. So I'm glad that that is on this list. You know, Material Issue, it's weird because I didn't really listen to a lot of the poppy, well, poppy, power poppy sort of music in the 90s, but I do remember when I lived in Albany, a Material Issue did a free concert over the summer. I remember really loving that band. So that one, I guess I did have some roots. I'll tell you what, I knew nothing about Velvet Crush. We get a little preview of the album, and before we went on here, I was actually listening to the Velvet Crush album, and I'll just tell people, if you haven't heard of them, definitely give that a listen before the tournament starts, is that I think is going to be up a lot of people's wheelhouse if they get a shot. The Jayhawks, look, I mean, I am glad to get Jayhawks as well. Once again, giving you your props. I think great picks by the host this year.
All right, cool. Mike, anything?
Yeah, I'm going to give you some flowers too, Jim.
Well, I appreciate it. That's what I'm here for.
Superchunk, fantastic. One of the best bands to come out of the 90s. Sugar's Copper Blue is I don't even know how I forgot to even include that in my list. I listened to that album still to this day. I got to see Bob Mould solo last year, and he played some Copper Blue songs. And then they're touring now. They got a new album coming out. I'm fired up for the new album. Sugar, great pick there. Some of these I didn't come into until later on, so okay. I can't really, like as you said, if you listen to in the moment. I wasn't listening to some of these bands in the moment. Lemonheads, I had a I discriminated against them because Evan Dando was a fancy looking fella, and I just I just didn't listen to Lemonheads. That's a great album. I came into it later on, and I regret not getting into that back in the 90s and letting that get in the way of me listening to the album. But Jayhawks, I didn't come into again until really I became a part of this community. I knew of the Jayhawks. I never really listened to them much, but damn, these guys are good. I just love everything they put out. And of course, Breeders. I listened to the Breeders album incessantly when it came out. So this is wide open, this whole bracket.
Yep.
I don't even know who to pick. But great job.
All right.
Both cool. You guys.
All right. We're running out of time here. So I want to go back to the sales quadrant since those votes start today and for the next 8 days. And let's just talk about each matchup real quickly here. All right. So I'll go in order of when people will be able to vote for them on Facebook. All right. So guys, get ready with your pithy comments. All right. Today's matchup is number one, Hootie and the Blowfish Cracked Rear View versus number 16, NSYNC, No Strings Attached. Anything?
I mean, look, it's Timberlake start, and you know, it's poppy goodness. That having been said, I think Hootie takes it.
Hootie's got a renaissance going right now. They're back in the game. They're touring again, and people are really latching back onto this album. I think Hootie's just going to blow through this.
Were you guys surprised that's the biggest selling album of the 90s?
I was surprised at that for sure.
Yeah, I think most people think it's The Bodyguard, which I think is true worldwide with the worldwide figures. But in the U.S., it was Hootie and the Blowfish. So there you go. All right, the matchup number two will be number two, Green Day, Dookie versus number 15, Dixie Chicks, Wide Open Spaces. Very different styles of play.
Very different styles, but very similar philosophies, I would say. Not a huge country fan, but the things that the Dixie Chicks were doing back then and still doing now as the Chicks, can't help but admire them. But Green Day, that alongside They Might Be Giants, Flood, was one of the albums that we listened to incessantly in the Bachelor Pad on J Street. So I'm going Green Day on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Dixie Chicks fan, or now Chicks fan, but I can't see it beating Green Day.
Yep. Okay. Then we have number 3 seed Metallica's Black Album versus number 14 Pearl Jam 10. Sorry, guys, that's just the way the matchups fell. And wow. I'm curious, Mike, in the Bachelor Pad, which got more play, Metallica or Pearl Jam?
Oh, man. So before I moved into the Bachelor Pad, I was a student at Potsdam State University, way up north. And Pearl Jam was the soundtrack to my trips home. And so, but Pearl Jam and Mother Love Bone, both of them interchangeably. So I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, but I've been on Metallica's train. I mean, Steven and I did the whole series on Metallica. I've been on Metallica's train since their first album. So when the Black Album came out, we all camped out for that album at the record store to get the Black Album. Some of it was a little bit disappointing. Pearl Jam was a revelation to me.
Okay.
So as much as this hurts me, I gotta go with Pearl Jam in this matchup.
Jason?
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the winner of this matchup will probably be the one that wins the bracket. And I, along the lines of what Mike said, that Pearl Jam album came out. It was just really a complete game changer, meaning, nothing sounded like them. Nobody really sounded like Eddie. And I know Mike mentioned Mother Love Bone, but at that point, they were not even on my radar. So I think Pearl Jam pulls it out in what will be a very close matchup.
Interesting. All right. Then we have number 4, Shania Twain, Come On Over, versus number 13, Nirvana, Nevermind. I don't know how much we need to speak about this matchup. I kind of have a feeling which way this is going to go.
Yeah, it's probably going Nirvana's way.
Yeah.
There was another album. There was, we would stop by my buddy's house to go pick him up to go out, and he was always the late comer. We would be sitting in front of his house waiting for him to come in, just trying to dissect all the lyrics on Nirvana's Nevermind album. We listened to that one constantly as well. Yep. So Nevermind is my pick in that
could get ugly.
Yeah. Okay.
Could get ugly.
Then we have number 5, The Bodyguard soundtrack, the only soundtrack in the field here, versus number 12, Backstreet Boys Millennium. How do you guys size this up?
So I think if The Bodyguard wins, it will probably be more so for Dolly Parton and the I Will Always Love You rather than for anything else. Though I'll tell you that I'm Every Woman song with Chaka Khan on it is great too. I'll show my cards. I would like to see one of the Backstreet Boys get into the round of 32. That having been said, I think it's going to be, I'll pick Millennium here.
All right.
I'm going Millennium too. I mean, the Bodyguard soundtrack was inescapable when it came out, but I want it that way. Come on.
All right.
I'm going Backstreet.
All right. Then we have numbers. Then we have Garth Brooks versus Garth Brooks. Not Chris Gaines, however. Garth Brooks versus Garth Brooks. Number 6.
I love it.
Number 6.
I was going to say that basically Garth versus Garth results in Chris Gaines making another appearance at the edge of the day. You know, Garth against the Garth cannot stand, and thus Chris Gaines has to come to play. But why don't you announce the albums, Jim?
The two albums are No Fences and Rope in the Wind. So I don't know.
I'm going to go No Fences. I also wouldn't be surprised if the voting total is low, though. I encourage everybody should listen to everything. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. Garth Brooks, I don't think he's available anywhere on the streamings. If you were looking to listen to these things, I guess you'll be able to find these maybe on YouTube. I'm not sure. But the first album, with Friends in Low Places, that song, rings in my head a little bit. So I'll go with that and, see Chris Gaines in round two.
So, yeah, when I was, I think, just turned 21, my mother's best friend from high school lived down in Pensacola. And we went to Mobile. Well, on the way to Mobile, Alabama, we stopped on the border of Florida and Alabama at a bar called the Florabama. And Friends in Low Places was played at least five times while we were there. So sentimental vote goes to No Fences.
All right.
Because of that.
All right. Very good. All right. Then we have number 7, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. I kind of forgot how big that album was, versus number 10, Britney Spears, Baby One More Time.
I'm going Alanis here.
I'm going to go Alanis too. And I'll say this. Alanis could get some momentum in this tournament. Sorry, Britney, you're going to just have to celebrate being emancipated. But I don't see it advancing past Alanis at the end of the day.
Alanis played at Bourbon and Beyond a couple years ago, and she hasn't lost a step. Her voice is stellar. She has not lost a step. Her voice is killer. She put on an amazing show. She's a great performer, great songwriter. Alanis, take this one.
All right, cool. And then the last matchup in the sales quadrant will be Santana, Supernatural versus Backstreet Boys' debut album.
Gotta go with, I'm going with Santana. I think that Rob Thomas song, that song he did with Rob Thomas, Moves, lived in my head. I'll probably be living in my head that day when I go to vote. So I'm going Santana here.
I got to go Santana too, just to give him some props. I mean, that's kind of like his career, like, reward for doing all the cool stuff that he did throughout his life and not selling a bunch of albums. He sold a bunch of albums by bringing all these people in to perform on his album. That Rob Thomas song was all over the place back when this came out, and I can't stand that song, but props to Santana for getting the right people involved in this album.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this up, but I'm excited about Mike Coley's Tales from the Bachelor Pad as the series progresses.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited. Maybe we'll see a reappearance of the mouse happen at some point.
It's been rough. I'll just say it's been a little rough, but we're still trying to coexist.
All right. By the way, Jason, we had a mouse visitor here at our house recently, but he sadly is no longer with us. That's how things ended here at the estate.
Rest in power, Leonard Mouse.
That's right.
Rest in power, mouse. That's right. Unfortunately, mine apparently is not getting a new friend. So there you go.
Yeah. Tears in heaven. All right. All right. Let's get out of here. This is going on long. We will talk to people with the bracket nonsense again in 8 days, and then various check-ins throughout the whole tournament. So go to facebook.com/suburbspod to vote each day. And then also the next couple days here on the podcast, listen to the conclusion of the 2025 favorites series.
Tomorrow you will hear Craig Rosen and Paul Trapp with their picks. And then Friday, Jim and I will reveal our picks.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
I'm happy to announce that those of you who are upset, Squirrel Nut Zippers are the number one seed in the NIT.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, good. All right,
if
good.
We get that far,
yes.
We might want to get some professional help, yeah.